ओम भद्रं कर्णे भिश्रुणुयाम देवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैः स्तुष्टुपांसस्तनूभिः व्यशेम देवहितैर्यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्ताक्षो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ नमस्ते गणपतये त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं तत्त्वमसि त्वमेव केवलं कर्तासि त्वमेव केवलं धत्तासि त्वमेव केवलं हर्तासि त्वमेव सर्वं खल्विदं ब्रह्मासि त्वं साक्षादात्मासि नित्यं ऋतं वच्मि सत्यं वच्मि अवत्वं माम् अववक्तारम् अवश्रोतारम् अवदातारम् अवधातारम् अवानोचानमवशिष्यम् अवपश्चात्तात् अवपुरस्तात् अवोत्तरात्तात् अवदक्षिणात्तात् अवचोर्ध्वात्तात् अवाधरात्तात् सर्वतो मां पाहि पाहि समन्तात् सर्वतो मां पाहि पाहि समन्तात् सर्वतो मां पाहि पाहि समन्तात् त्वं वाङ्मयस्त्वं चिन्मयः त्वमानन्दमयस्त्वं ब्रह्ममयः त्वं सच्चिदानन्दाद्वितीयोऽसि त्वं प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्मासि त्वं ज्ञानमयो विज्ञानमयोऽसि सर्वं जगदिदं त्वत्तो जायते सर्वं जगदिदं त्वत्तस्तिष्ठति सर्वं जगदिदं त्वयि लयमेष्यति सर्वं जगदिदं त्वयि प्रत्येति त्वं भूमिरापो नलो निलो नभः त्वं चत्वारि वाक्पदानि त्वं गुणत्रयातीतः त्वं अवस्थात्रयातीतः त्वं देहत्रयातीतः त्वं कालत्रयातीतः त्वं मूलाधारस्थितोऽसि नित्यम् त्वं शक्तित्रयात्मकः त्वां योगिनो ध्यायन्ति नित्यम् त्वं ब्रह्मा त्वं विष्णुस्त्वं रुद्रस्त्वमिन्द्रस्त्वमग्निस्त्वं वायुस्त्वं सूर्यस्त्वं चन्द्रमास्त्वं ब्रह्म भूर्भुवस्वरो गणादिं पूर्वमुच्चार्य वर्णादींस्तदनन्तरम् अनुस्वारः परतरः अर्धेन्दुलसितं तारेण रुद्धम् एतत्तवमनुस्वरूपम् गकारः पूर्वरूपम् अकारो मध्यमरूपम् अनुस्वारश्चान्त्यरूपम् बिन्दुरुत्तररूपम् नादसन्धानम् संहितासन्धिः सैषा गणेशविद्या गणकऋषिः निच्छृद्गायत्री छन्दः गणपतिर्देवता ॐ गं गणपतये नमः ॐ गं गणपतये नमः ॐ गं गणपतये नमः ॐ एकदन्ताय विद्महे वक्रतुण्डाय धीमहि तन्नो दन्तिः प्रचोदयात् एकदन्तं चतुर्हस्तं पाशमङ्कुशधारिणं रथं च वरदं हस्तैर्बिभ्राणं मोषकध्वजम् रक्तं लम्बोदरं शूर्पकर्णकं रक्तवाससं रक्तगन्धानुलिप्ताङ्गं रक्तपुष्पैः सुपूजितम् भक्तानुकम्पिनं देवं जगत्कारणमच्युतम् आविर्भूतं च सृष्ट्यादौ प्रकृतेः पुरुषात्परम् एवं ध्यायति यो नित्यं स योगी योगिनां वरः ॐ नमो रातपतये नमो गणपतये नमः प्रमथपतये नमस्तेऽस्तु लम्बोदराय एकदन्ताय विघ्ननाशिने शिवसुताय श्रीवरदमूर्तये नमो नमः ॐ श्रीमन्महागणाधिपतये नमः सर्वरूपमयी देवी सर्वं देवीमयं जगत् अतोऽहं विश्वरूपां तां नमामि परमेश्वरीम् ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः So we are going to begin the Kena Upanishad. Before I enter into the teaching of this Upanishad, I would like to remind you of the term Pramanam. As I said, this word Pramanam is derived from the root ma. Ma literally means to measure. Manam means measuring, measurement. When you add the pra prefix, you get the word pramanam. The dental nakara becomes cerebral nakara. Pramanam. With the prefix pra, na changes. Pramanam. When you say pramanam, it's an accurate a means of measuring something. Means you can measure something accurately. So pramanam is a means of knowledge. That by which something is measured accurately. Therefore, it is called a pramana. So, an instrument of knowledge, a means of knowledge. And from here, we can understand these other four words. Pramati is the verb. So, pramanam, a means of knowledge. And pramata, rikaranta, pullinga shabdha, pramata. Pramatru shabdaha. A word is pramatru. You get this expression pramata means knower. Pramata, knower, subject of knowledge. Pramanam, instrument of knowledge. Then we have another expression, prameyam, an object of knowledge. Pramata, pramanam, then prameyam, an object of knowledge. When pramata operates pramanam, there rises knowledge, cognition of a given prameyam. And knowledge is pramitihi or prama. We have two words for knowledge. Subject of knowledge, instrument of knowledge, object of knowledge. Now I say pramitihi or prama. Both these words are feminine gender words. Pramitihi is ikaranta strilinga shabda. Prama akaranta strilinga shabda. Both words are feminine gender words in Sanskritam. Both words mean knowledge. Pramata, pramanam, prameyam, pramitihi or prama. Usually, a pramanam can be called a pramanam only when it reveals something which cannot be known by any other means of knowledge. What can be known through sense eyes cannot be known through any other means of knowledge. What can be known through ears cannot be known by any other means of knowledge. And then we call it a pramanam. And here we have six pramanams. There are six factors which serve as means of knowledge. Pratyaksha pramanam. Pratyaksham or pratyaksha pramanam. Pratyaksha pramanam is through that pramanam we have direct knowledge of something. An instrument of knowledge using which we can have direct knowledge of objects. Pratyaksha jnanam means direct knowledge. Pratyaksha jnanam means direct knowledge. Now I use my sense organs. I use my eyes. I see all of you sitting in front of me. And you all see me sitting here. I have direct knowledge of all the people who are sitting in front of me. Right in front of me. I use my sense organs. Directly I perceive. Therefore, pratyaksha pramanam. Our sense organs serve as pratyaksha pramanam. What is the proof that Hindustani music class is happening in this place? Pratyaksha pramanam. I did not hear through another person. I myself personally went to the class. I heard the musician singing and teaching. Pratyaksha pramanam. Not through another person I came to know that there is a teacher teaching music here. It's a pratyaksha pramanam. Direct knowledge. My sense organs serve as pratyaksha pramanam, instruments of knowledge. Then the next pramanam is அனுமான பிரமாணம், அனுமான பிரமாணம், அனுமானம். Here na is dental. அனுமான பிரமாணம், அனுமானம் is inference. Inferential knowledge. So direct knowledge, inferential knowledge is not direct, indirect knowledge, but still the means of knowledge used to have that knowledge is inference, anumanam. Somebody comes to meet Swamiji in this ashram and they find the room being locked and they infer he must have gone elsewhere. They presume he must have gone elsewhere. And they come, walk this side, they see his shoes outside. They do not see him, they see his shoes outside. Also, color of umbrella he regularly uses also outside. And they have the direct knowledge of, they have direct knowledge, perceptual knowledge of umbrella and shoes. Based on their perception of his shoes and umbrella, and they infer Swamiji must be inside this hall. Seeing the shoes and umbrella outside, they have inferential knowledge of Swamiji being present in the hall. So the inference is not in a direct knowledge, indirect knowledge, but still it is authentic means of knowledge. This is anumanam, anumana pramanam. But inference is based on perception. How do they infer? So inference needs perceptual data to arrive at the conclusion. Without any perceptual data, inference is not possible. If there is no umbrella outside, shoes outside, what is the basis for them to infer? So, some perceptual data is required for inference. This is called anumana pramanam. Now, arthapatti pramanam. Arthapatti pramanam. When the person came first, he goes to his room, expecting him to be there, but he is not there. He presumes he must be elsewhere, he must have gone for some other program. There's a slight difference between inference and presumption. In inference, he knows he is here. In a presumption, what he presumes, he must have gone for some other program. It is presumption, arthapatti pramanam. So pratyaksha pramanam, anumana pramanam, then arthapatti pramanam. Then upamana pramanam, upamanam. Upamanam is comparison. A given object can be compared to something similar. Sometimes we do not have direct knowledge, but through comparison we have knowledge of a given thing. This is comparison, upamana pramanam. There must be similarity between the object used for comparison and the object to be known. Similarity must be there. You want to talk about a palm tree. And palm tree is very tall. You have no idea how tall palm tree looks. I can give you a clue. You have seen tall coconut trees. Palm trees are like the coconut trees. Tall. They yield fruits on the top. The leaves are, on the top. Some similarity. So comparison is another means of knowledge. Upamanam. So pratyaksham, anumanam, arthapatti, upamanam. One more. Another pramanam is anupalabdhihi. Anupalabdhi pramanam. Labdhihi means attainment or availability. Upalabdhihi means availability. Upalabhyate available. Upalabdhihi availability. Unupalabdhihi means non-availability. Non-availability means absence. Okay. Literal meaning of the word is upalabdhihi means what? Availability. Unupalabdhihi means what? Non-availability. Unavailability. Non-availability implies absence. Something is not available means something is absent. So absence. So here, there is a means by which absence of a given thing is known. There is a means by which an absence of a given thing becomes known. Just as presence is known, absence also is known. A means used to know the absence of a given thing. That's called anupalabdhi pramanam. Anupalabdhi pramanam. Now one more pramanam is there. Shabda pramanam. Shabda means a word. A word also can be a means of knowledge. Shabda pramanam. If we have Shraddha in the word, Shraddha is there, then a word can reveal. Shabda Pramana. Like that, we have sixfold means of knowledge. Shrad Pramanani. And here, Veda Shastram, Vedaha, meaning the knowledge, a body of knowledge, serves as the Pramanam, means Veda comes under the category of Shabda Pramanam. Veda Shastram comes under the category of Shabda Pramanam. The word Shabda literally means sound. In fact, in Sanskritam, a word is a meaningful sound. If I make ow wow, that's a meaningless sound. So any sound is not a word, but a word is a meaningful sound, which is implied by the term Shabdaha. In fact, Shabda Shastram, no, phonetics, science of words. So Shabdaha means word. And here, I want you to understand the meaning of the word Padam. Even the word Padam, if you take the word Padam in Sanskritam, there is a root, specific root Pad. From here, you derive some words. One word is Padam. Padam means a word. Padaha means foot. Or foot is, no? When you say padau, feet, 2 feet, padau. Why the foot is called padaha, a word is called padam. You know why? Both serve as instrument in arriving at something. Padyate means is, no? Padyate anena iti. That by which from one place, another place is arrived at, reached. That is padaha, feet. Your foot also serves as an instrument of arriving another given place. Similarly, a word also, pade padyate anena iti padam, that by which a given object is arrived at. You will say flower. When I say the word flower, immediately the object denoted by that word, your mind reaches that object denoted by that word. Isn't it? So word also serves as a means of knowledge. You will say fruit, immediately the word mind reaches the object denoted by that word fruit. That's very interesting to know. Padyate anena iti padam. So now Veda Shastram comes under the category of Shabda Pramanam, the last one. And what is this? How Veda is a Pramanam? Understand? Veda is the Bodhakam. Vedaha Bodhakaha. Bodhakaha means that which reveals. Veda enjoys the status of being the Bodhakaha. Vedasya Bodhakatvamasti. Veda enjoys the status of being the revealer. So it is capable of revealing. But what does Veda reveal? Vedaha kim bodhayati. Katham Vedaha bodhakaha. How is Veda is a revealer? What does Veda reveal? Anadigata artham bodhayati. Adhigata means already understood, known. Adhigata means already understood. Anadhigata, anadhigata means ununderstood. So Veda reveals something which has not yet been understood, which cannot be understood through, by any other means of knowledge. So பிரத்யக்ஷ பிரமாணேன பை பிரத்யக்ஷ பிரமாணம் அனுமான பிரமாணம் அர்த்தாபத்தி பிரமாணம் ஆல் தோஸ் பிரமாணம் வாட் கெனாட் பி நோன் த்ரூ எனி அதர் பிரமாணம் இஸ் ரிவீல்டு பை தி வேதா. ஓகே, சோ வேதா அதிகத அர்த்தம் ந போதயதி அனதிகத அர்த்தம் போதயதி. அனதிகதம் இஸ் வாட் வேதா ரிவீல் சம்திங் விச் ஹேஸ் நாட் இட் பீன் விச் கெனாட் பி நோன் த்ரூ எனி அதர் மீன்ஸ் ஆஃப் நாலேஜ். வேதா ஆல்சோ ரிவீல் சம்திங் வாட் கேன் பி நோன் த்ரூ அதர் பிரமாணம் தென் வேதா கெனாட் பி கிவன் தி ஸ்டேட்டஸ் ஆஃப் பீயிங் தி பிரமாணம். சப்போஸ் இமேஜின் இன் வேதா யூ ஃபைண்ட் அ சென்டென்ஸ் சூர்யா பிரகாஷா சர்வ பிரகாஷகா சன் இஸ் தி ஆல் எலிமினேட்டர் சூர்யா சர்வ பிரகாஷகா சன் இஸ் தி ஆல் எலிமினிங் லைட் you won't be bothered. Why it's not a fact which is already it's a fact which is already known through pratyaksha pramanam. All of us every day we see the sun. If Veda reveals something, you know, then it is not a pramanam. It's not something. Suppose Veda says wherever there is smoke there must be fire. You yourself can infer. You can infer wherever there is fire, wherever there is smoke, there must be fire. You infer that. Because fire is already known through pratyaksha pramanam. So, adhigata vishayam vedaha na bodhayati. Veda does not reveal something which is already known through any other means of knowledge. Know why I am repeating all these things? Because I want you to appreciate Shastra Pramanyam. The Pramanyam means how Shastram serves as a unique means of knowledge. Your anadhigata artha bodhakatvam vedasya asti. Veda is capable of revealing something which cannot be known through any other means of knowledge. I did, because you're not doing Bhashya, let me use some Sanskrit words. Okay? Not a lot of Sanskritam, little some Sanskritam. I want to get these words because the definition is beautiful. Not only does Veda teach something which cannot be known through any other means of knowledge, Veda also reveals something which is useful, okay, fruitful. Palavat arthabodham, artham bodhayati. Anadhigata artham bodhayati, palavat artham bodhayati. Palam means fruit. Palavat means fruitful. What it reveals is, what it reveals serves a purpose. It is useful, fruitful, isn't it? So Veda reveals something which is not known already, at the same time what is useful also, fruitful. Palavat artham bodhayati. Anadhigata artham bodhayati. Palavad artham bodhayati. Therefore, it is said to be Vedaha anadhigata palavat artha bodhakam pramanam. What is the pramanam? Anadhigata palavat artha bodhakam pramanam. A pramanam, a means of knowledge, is that which reveals something unknown through other means of knowledge, and the same thing which is also fruitful. So Veda has this, Veda is capable of revealing anadhigatartham palavadartham. Okay. Now, so Veda, as I said, whatever is discussed in the Veda,
cannot be known. Means, leave alone the end portion. Even if we take the Veda Purva Bhagaha, the first part of the Veda also, there the rituals Veda prescribes and the know-how of rituals, the results of rituals are not, we cannot know through any other means. Even the heaven, all these seven lokas above, how do we know? Which other pramanam can talk to you about these lokas? Seven below and seven above. 14 lokas are there. Even though they are non-verifiable matter for belief, suppose heaven, you will go to heaven. If you perform this ritual, as a result of which you will go to heaven. What is the pramanam? No pramanam for us. Heaven itself is a non-verifiable matter for belief, and Veda says, Veda is the pramanam. Similarly, there is a sanchitam karma. Sanchitam karma. We have, there is ajnanam, sanchitam karma. How do we have sanchitam karma? What is the proof? Veda is the pramanam. Veda says so. I have shraddha is important. If you have shraddha, then Veda says sanchitam karma is there. And once jnanam takes place, sanchitam karma will be destroyed. Who is it? Again, what is the pramanam? Veda is the pramanam. Otherwise, there is no way of knowing sanchita karma being there and getting it destroyed also. So also agami karma, isn't it? What? So you say, why am I going through all these problems in my life? Paradha karma palam. How do we know? Veda says. Even punarjanma, rebirth. For rebirth, how do we know? The person who died and he comes back, the person means, I mean the mind comes back again and again and again. Punarjanma. How do we know? Veda is the pramanam. So the samsaraha, people don't have no clue. Life is beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths. Life is not one straight line, it is a beginningless, endless cycle. Life has no beginning, life has no end. It is not very clear, Veda says. Like this, what cannot be known through other means of knowledge, we come to know through Veda Shastra. And Veda is not contentious. It does not contend with any other pramanam. Which means, whatever is known through other pramanams are not negated by Veda. If you say, I see sunlight through my eyes, Veda doesn't contradict that. So Veda does not contend, is not contentious. With this background, now we enter into this Upanishad. And Kena Upanishad belongs to Samavedaha. We have completed Upanishad belonging to Shukla Yajurvedaha, and we have Krishna Yajurvedaha like Taittiriyam. Other friends belong to Krishna Yajurvedaha, and this particular Upanishad, Kena Upanishad, belongs to Samavedaha. And this Kena Upanishad also comes under the major Upanishads, 10 Upanishads. Why 10 alone are said to be major Upanishads? All the Upanishads are great Upanishads. No Upanishad is inferior to any other Upanishad. No Upanishad is unworn Upanishad, something unimportant. These 10 have the status of being the major Upanishads because Adishankara Bhagavatpada has written commentary on them. And second thing, Vyasa Bhagavan also uses these Upanishads a lot to give his quotations he gave from these 10 Upanishads mostly when he analyzed the mantras in Brahma Sutras. In his text Brahma Sutras, you must have heard, the Brahma Sutrani are actually analytical study of Upanishads. Mimamsa Shastram, Veda Mimamsa Shastram. As I said earlier, simply learning to chant the mantras, memorizing the mantras, thereby having the whole text in your mind, in your memory. Now, having the text in your mind itself is called Veda Adhyayanam. Study the mantras, learn the mantras, memorize them, have the whole text in the mind is called Veda Adhyayanam. After having learned the mantras, learning the mantras properly with proper intonation, etc., itself is a discipline. The way the Parayam itself becomes a very discipline, great discipline. Then later on, then the Mimamsa is possible. Analytical study of mantras is possible. So analysis of mantras, okay, analytical study of the mantras is called Veda Mimamsa. And we have two Mimamsas. Karma Kanda Mimamsa, Jnana Kanda Mimamsa. Karma Mimamsa Shastram, the mantras of Karma Kanda, the analytical study of the mantras of the Karma Kanda is called Jaimini Sutrani. And we have Uttara Mimamsa Shastram, the analytical study of mantras belonging to Jnana Kanda, Upanishad mantras, is called Brahma Sutrani. So later a person has to study the meaning of the mantras. That's how the study of the Veda involves two steps: Veda Adhyayanam, Veda Mimamsa. And Vyasacharya has taken mantras from these 10 Upanishads for analysis a lot. He also quotes. Therefore also these 10 Upanishads have the name Major Upanishads. That doesn't mean other Upanishads are unimportant or not great. If a person studies his 10 Upanishads with the commentaries, and any other Upanishad can be easily understood, because subject matter of all Upanishads is one and the same. There's not difference in subject matter. The object, how it is presented, may differ from Upanishad to Upanishad. Okay? And this Upanishad again also is in the form of a dialogue, like any other Upanishad. Guru Sishya Samvada Rupena, in the form of dialogue. Why? Because wherever dialogue is shown, it is important for a person to understand Upanishad study should not be independently done, because Upanishad itself is a pramanam, means how it serves as a means of knowledge. If you see, the means of knowledge is in the form of enquiry, analysis. The student sitting with the help teacher, okay, he understands, only he only analyzes. Vicharatmakam, Vedaha Vicharatmakaha. So Veda Shastram, especially Vedanta Shastram, is in, how is this Pramanam? How is this Pramanam working? How is this means of knowledge? Upanishad as a means of knowledge, how does it work? It is in the form of enquiry. So Vicharatmakam Pramanam. So because it is in the form of enquiry, one should not enquire into subject matter of the Shastram independently. One must study with the help of the teacher. Therefore, to show the importance of studying with the help of the teacher, all is revealed by this. The fact is revealed here by showing that always that its teaching is in the form of a dialogue between the student and the teacher. And here also we have a Shanti Pataha. So because the first class, let us begin with the Shanti Pataha before we enter into the actual textbook. When I see the Bhashyam, I am so much tempted to do the Bhashyam. Okay. As I said, there is a portion in the Veda which is called Talavakara Brahmanam. Belonging to Samaveda. And this Upanishad belongs to that Brahmanam. Talavakara Brahmanam. And any Upanishad gets the name because of different reasons. Why? Ishavasya Upanishad is known as Ishavasya Upanishad because it begins with the name word Ishavasya. But why Mundaka Upanishad is known as Mundaka Upanishad? Because Mundanam means shaving. So Upanishad is supposed to be studied by people who are mature, who are given to that, you know, ritual of going through Mundanam, having the shaving. That is different meaning. And here the word Upanishad Kena begins with the question Kena. Kena is an instrumental case of the question Kaha or Kim. Kim means what. Kaha means who, what. Kim is an interrogative pronoun. Kaha is also an interrogative pronoun. Okay. Masculine. And the instrumental case of the interrogative pronoun is what? Kena. By what? By which? By whom? Kena means by what? By which? By whom? And this Upanishad begins with the first mantra, which begins with an expression Kena. Upanishad begins with the first mantra, which begins with his expression Kena, which means by what, by whom. Therefore Upanishad is called Kena Upanishad, Keno Upanishad. Let us do the first Shanti Mantra and we'll continue from tomorrow. Shanti Pataha. And already you know very well why we do any Shanti Pataha, peace invocation, benediction, benedictory verse or peace invocation. Shanti Pataha is done and saying three times Shantihi, And I begin the class with Shantipata, you know very well, to ward off all obstacles arising from three different sources, known as Adhyatmika Tapaha, Adi Daivika Tapaha, Adi Bhautika, Adi Daivika Tapas. So Tapatrayam, Tapatraya Nivrityartam Shantipataha, for the elimination of obstacles arising from three different sources. Teaching begins with the Shanti Pataha. Even though you already know very well, I am repeating this really like a prayer. Don't want any obstacles in our pursuit of knowledge. Okay. So, Adhyatmika, Adibhautika, Adidaivika, Tapatraya Nivrityartam Shantipataha. Let us read the mantra now. Om Aapyayantu Aapyayantu Mamangani Mamangani Vak Pranaschakshuhu Vak Pranaschakshuhu Shrotramatho Shrotramatho Balam Indriyani cha Balam Indriyani cha Sarvani Sarvam Brahmaupanishadam Sarvam Brahmaupanishadam Maham Brahma Nirakuryam Maham Brahma Nirakuryam Mama Brahma Nirakarot. There we break the mantra. Mama Brahma Nirakarot Anirakaranam Astu Anirakaranamastu 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 Anirakaranam
Me astu
Tadatmani
Tadatmani
Nirate
Nirate
Tadatmani
Tadatmani
Nirate
Nirate
Ya
Ya
Upanishatsu
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 Dharmas
Dharmaste
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 Mayi
Santu Mayi Santu
Te Mayi Santu
Te Mayi Santu
Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi
Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.
Until today we are saying Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. But today we are changing. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. In Ishavasyam, only when you chant Purnamadaha, you have to chant the Shanti. The anudatta goes to sha. Shant. Shanti, there's no Surita at all. Shanti, 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 Shanti. We're chanting all these days carefully. Now, Sha Udata, Shanti, Anudata goes to Ti. Shanti, 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 Ti, Swarita. Shanti, 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 Ti, Swarita. Whereas in Pisha Purnamadaha, there is no Swarita at all. Only Anudata, Udata. Anudata is for Sha. But here, Ti is Anudata. Sha Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Okay, it is easy. You will get it. only Purnamadaha when you chant, you have to remain. It's only mantra where the swara changes. Which other Shanti you say? Same Shanti. Om Aapyayantu Mamangani, Aapyayantu Mamangani, Vak Pranas Chakshushrotramatho, Vak Pranas Chakshushrotramatho, Balamindriyani Chasarvani, Balamindriyani Chasarvani, Sarvam Brahma Upanishadam, Sarvam Brahma Upanishadam, Maham Brahma Nirakuryam, Maham Brahma Nirakuryam, Mama Brahma Nirakarot, Mama Brahma Nirakarot, Anirakaranamastvanirakaranam me astu,
Anirakaranam
namastvanirakaranam me astu, Anirakaranamastvanirakaranam me astu, Anirakaranamastvanirakaranam me astu, Tadatmani nirate, Tadatmani nirate, Ya Upanishatsu, Ya Upanishatsu, Dharmaste mahi santu, Dharmaste mahi santu, Te mahi santu, Te mahi santu, Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Om Shanti
Shanti Shanti. If we take any Shanti mantra, there is a prayer. Usually we invoke the grace of Bhagavan in the form of Devatas to bless us with good physical health and mental health. If you are not physically healthy, mentally healthy, Shastra study will be a failure. You must be able to sit in the class first of all, and you must be able to focus on teaching, you must be able to grasp the teaching, you must be able to retain the teaching, you must be able to assimilate the teaching. I mean, physically we must be healthy. Therefore, always is a prayer. And we will have some pratibandhas, obstacles. Our own papa karmas may be in form of obstacles. Therefore, we seek the grace of devatas. Bhagavan in form of devatas. Generally in any shanti mantra. So here also, the prayer, first there is a prayer. And mantra begins with Om. Because you know very well, Om happens to be the essence of all Vedas. Om happens to be the sound symbol of the Lord. And any mantra is begin with an auspicious utterance, Om. Now, Aapyayantu, Aapyayantu. So, Aapyayantu means may be strong. May be strong means may. What should be strong? That is said next sentence. Mama angani. Mama angani. My limbs. Angam singular. Angani plural. My limbs. So may all my limbs be strong. Angani apyayantu. Which means may all my limbs grow in strength. Actually it means may all my limbs grow in strength. All the limbs be strong. So that when I sit in the class, I don't need to change my position many times. Isn't it? Mama angani apyayantu. Complete sentence. Mama angani apyayantu. See, any physical discomfort can distract your attention. Isn't it? How important it is. What can be achieved without having good physical health? Whether it is a dharma or moksha, even to pursue dharma, we need good physical health. Pursue dharma means even to earn punyam, you need good health. To perform karma, you need good health. To attain jnanam, to do shravanam mananam, you need good health. So physical health is so important. So first prayer is what? Mama angani apyayantu. May all my limbs be strong. Means let all my limbs grow in strength. Literal meaning. Then after that, make it very clear. What all should be strong? Not the external limbs should be strong. Now we say, walk. Walk, organ of speech. So may my organ of speech grow in strength. May my organ of speech be strong. Okay. So that one word, walk, stands for all other powers of organs of actions. Walk, one stands for the rest of the four powers of organs of actions. Okay. May all my powers, all my karmendriyani be strong, powerful, effective. So may all my organs of actions be strong, may all of them grow in strength. Next word, pranaha. So pranaha, one word, stands for the entire physiological system. Even whichever prana, even one physiological cyst function has a problem, it will affect the health of the whole body. Circulation must be in good condition. Respiration must be in good condition. Respiratory system, circulatory system, digestive system, excretory system, retentive system, the entire physiological system must be in good condition. So may all my physiological functions be in proper condition. Pranaha. Then chakshuhu means jnana indriyam, the power of seeing. Shrotram, power of hearing. These two words stand for all five sense powers. Powers of organs of knowledge. May all my jnana indriyani be powerful, effective, and they all be healthy, strong. Ataha, then balam, indriyanicha sarvani. Even my strength, see, balam, the capability in me, may the capability, the capacity also grow in strength. Indriyanicha sarvani, all indriyani, all organs, sarvani indriyani, all organs, let all my organs grow in strength. Let all of them be strong. So there ends the prayer for health. Om Aapyayantu Mamangani Vak Pranas Chakshrotra Matho Balamindriyani Cha Sarvani. Then Sarvam
Sarvam
Brahmaupanishadam
Brahmaupanishadam
Sarvam Brahmaupanishadam
Sarvam Brahmaupanishadam.
Then Brahma Upanishadam. Upanishad means Upanishad, the text. Upanishad means the anything pertaining to Upanishad is called Upanishadam. And the subject matter revealed by the Upanishad is Brahma. Brahma Sarvopanishadam. Sarvam Brahma Upanishadam means what is that which is revealed by the Upanishad is Brahma. The subject matter revealed by the Upanishad is Brahma. What is Brahma? Brahma is a word used to imply the reality. Brahma is a word which reveals the reality in terms of its nature. So reality, all that is revealed by the Upanishad is nothing but absolute reality implied by the term Brahma. Sarvam Brahma Upanishadam. Brahma Upanishadam. Maham Brahma Nirakuryam. Brahma Nirakuryam. Now ma is a negative particle. Okay, when imperative verb is used, use this ma. In simple present tense, use the negative particle na. Suppose somebody goes. No, Ishwaraha gacchati. Ishwar goes. Ishwar does not go when I say Ishwaraha na gacchati. But in imperative, I don't use na. Go, please don't go. They want to say, I say ma gacha. Ma is used when you use imperative verb. So ma nirakuryam. It's the first person. Let me not reject. Nirakaroti. Nir a two prefixes. The kridhatu. The verb is nirakaroti. Means rejects. Nirakuryam. May I reject. Ma nirakuryam. May I not reject. What I should not reject? Brahma. It means may I not reject Brahman means. What does it mean? How can we reject Brahman? Who are we to reject Brahman? Brahman is the very truth. How can we reject Brahman? See, not making any effort to understand what the reality is rejecting Brahman. If I do not make any effort at all to understand what the reality is, it is rejecting. I don't care to know what the truth is. I'm rejecting Brahman. I'm rejecting the reality. Okay? So lack of any effort on my part to understand the reality in terms of studying the Upanishad, understanding the teaching, isn't it? Is as good as rejecting the Brahman. Therefore, it is said, Ma, Ma, Aham, Maham. Aham, Brahma, Ma, Nirakuryam. Is a sentence. Aham, Brahma, Ma, Nirakuryam. May I not reject Brahman? May I make all possible efforts to study the Upanishad and understand the Upanishad and take ownership of Brahman as my own real nature. How can you take ownership of Brahman being your real nature? Only when you understand what Brahman is, how Brahman is. Therefore, studying the scripture, understand the nature of reality, and understand reality being one's own real nature is what? Not rejecting Brahman. Therefore, may I not reject Brahman? Literal meaning, Maham Brahma Nirakuryam. Maham Brahma Nirakuryam. Why should we pray here? Even if I don't want to reject Brahman, even if you want to understand what Brahman is, there may be lots of obstacles. So may I not have any obstacles which will prevent me from knowing Brahman, thereby I'll be rejecting Brahman. So here, Ma Aham Brahman Nirakuryam. May I not reject Brahman? Ma Ma Brahma Nirakarot. Ma Ma Brahma Nirakarot. The two Ma's are there. One Ma means Mom, not Mum, or English Mom. Mom means me. One Ma means Mom. Ma is equal to Mom. Mom is equal to me. Okay. Ma Nirakarot. Nirakarot means may not reject me. Who should not reject me? May Brahman not reject me. May Brahman not reject me means may I not be prevented from knowing Brahman. May not be deprived of the knowledge of Brahman. May Brahman not reject me. Okay? May Brahman not reject me. Ma, Maam, Brahma, Nirakarot. The Ma itself means what? Maam. One Ma means may not. One Ma is me. Okay? The two Ma's are there. Ma Ma Brahma Nirakarot. It's a potential mood expression. Mood. May not reject. Should not reject. Ma Ma Brahma Nirakarot. Ma Ma Brahma Nirakarot. Anirakaranamastu. Anirakaranamastu. Now, Nirakaranam is a noun which means rejection. Anirakaranam, non-rejection. So, the two times we say that let there not be rejection, let there not be rejection. Anirakaranamastu. Anirakaranam me astu. Means, let there not be rejection on my part. Let there not be rejection on the part of Brahman. Let me not reject Brahman. Let Brahman not reject me. What has been already said is emphasized here. Anirakaranam, non-rejection. Anirakaranam astu. Let there not be rejection on the part of Brahman. Means, may I not be rejected by Brahman. anirakaranam me astu. Let there not be rejection on my part. Let me not reject Brahman. So let me also make all possible efforts to discover Brahman. Let Brahman also, be revealed to me. Anirakaranam astu, anirakaranam me astu. Tadatmani, tadatmani, nirate. No, tad, then that. Atmani nirataha. Atmani nirataha means the one who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Atmani nirataha means I remain engrossed. Literal meaning is I remain engrossed in the self, which means I am committed to the pursuit of knowledge. And in such me, Atmani nirate Upanishatsu ye dharmaha. The word dharmaha means values, virtues, disciplines, attitudes. Values, virtues, disciplines, attitudes. So all those values, virtues, attitudes, disciplines are implied, meant by one word dharmaha. Those values, attitudes revealed in the Upanishads. All those values and attitudes be in me. Ye dharmaha Upanishatsu, te dharmaha mayi santu. And all those values and attitudes revealed and discussed in Upanishads be in me. Means so that I'll become qualified for this knowledge. See, I studied the book, understand the teachings, and books, teachings are all only in the book. Means what? They must reflect in my behavior. I must live the dharmas I understand from Upanishads. Already the prayer to Bhagavan, bless me to study the Upanishad. Once I study, I understand the values and attitudes discussed in the Upanishads. Then once they are in me, means they must get reflected in my behavior, isn't it? So here, ye dharmaha Upanishatsu, all those values and attitudes which are discussed in the Upanishads, let all of them be in me. Let all of them be absorbed by me. Let all of them be lived by me in my day-to-day life. Te mayi santu. Again repetition. The same sentence is repeated. Te mayi santu, te mayi santu. Let them be in me. Why repetition? Already told you, whenever something has to be emphasized, something is very important, it has to be grasped, it has to be emphasized. Therefore, to emphasize the importance, necessity, always sentences are repeated. And we say Om Shantihi Shantihi Shantihi. Just read once and stop the class. Om Apyayantu Mamangani.
Om Apyayantu Mamangani.
Mamangani, mamangani, vak pranas chakshushrotramatho, pranas chakshushrotramatho, balamindriyani cha sarvani,
balamindriyani
cha sarvani, sarvam brahma upanishadam,
sarvam brahma upanishadam,
maham brahma nirakuryam,
maham brahma nirakuryam,
mama brahma nirakarot,
निराकरणम् मे अस्तु अनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरते य उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
शान्ति
शान्ति शान्तिः
वेल्कम् सी यु टुमारो मार्निङ्ग् वि स्टार्टेड् केन उपनिषत्
ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदम् पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ
May Bhagawan bless all of us with the clear vision of the Upanishad already studied and the Upanishad is going to be studied.